Welcome to the second episode of Brett Time with your host Gabriel Valdivia and
Charlie Deeds.
What are we talking about today, Charles?
Okay. Over the past year or so, maybe longer, a lot of people have started to feel concerned that Apple is prioritizing iOS over macOS substantially. And I don't think anyone would really deny that. But one of the fears that people have gotten to is macOS going to go away, or are they going to give up on it or let it die a slow death? So I think like a fun thing to think about today would be like, what would iOS need in it to replace macOS for Apple? Like what are the remaining features iOS needs that it could become like the central computing platform for Apple? Number one is the super blatantly obvious one, which is Xcode only runs on macOS. Like, in order to write iOS software in Swift or Objective-C, you literally have to write it on macOS right now, right? So iOS couldn't be self-sustaining until you wrote software on it, right? So like in the last episode, we were saying like maybe there's a chance they make like an iOS desktop machine, right? So like, would that thing have Windows? Like, would you actually be able to like put a couple iOS apps out at the same time and move them around? Is that necessary?
Well, I think, let's say that was the case, that could get real sloppy really quickly, because, you know, dragging your finger around to select the right window might be sloppy, which brings me to the next point, which I think is the deciding factor, like the one thing that I think iOS needs, and that I think is a cursor. I think we need some sort of abstraction so that you can make a small gesture and it can translate to a large gesture.
Yeah, basically, like, yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. Like, cursors are, they allow like specific input, right? Like very, very clear directed input. Like the cursor is more pointed than your finger could ever be. And that helps, like, so things like timelines, right? So Final Cut Pro, like Logic, like basically anything that requires a timeline or very specific editing, even text, it's a lot easier with a cursor than it is with your finger. Like, how do you fix that? Like, what is the... I don't think there is a solution for that, right?
Although I would argue it's not just about accuracy, but also that translation of effort. Like, you could argue that you could use the Apple Pencil to be very accurate with selection. One thing that's powerful about a trackpad or a mouse is that you move half an inch with your hands or your fingers, and that translates to, you know, 6 inches across the screen. And I think that's a superpower that we lose if we have complete natural one-to-one gestures.
Cool. So the next one is like shortcuts, right? Like, so if I use keyboard shortcuts, I feel faster. They have those a little bit with the iPad on iOS, but there's like, you have constant access to the dock and menu bar in macOS, where you really don't have those in iOS. Does that matter?
I think so, but maybe you can have a device that has some sort of touch bar, and you can make macros or something, and they turn into some sort of icon in that touch bar. And that's like your keyboard shortcut.
I like the idea of a touch bar for an iPad. It would be great. Like, basically, like, there's a screen, and then there's just a series of other screens around that screen.
Well, so then we have Windows and then file management, right? Like, there's very little concept of files in iOS. And I think that's a big part of macOS, like Finder and like creating a file and storing that file. And Android's a little better, but iOS is definitely abstracted to the point where it's almost unusable.
I think I agree with you historically, but like iCloud Drive now, like, basically gives you that access back. Like, it feels like, I mean, I can access a desktop of a macOS machine from my iPad, right?
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't do it, but iCloud Drive basically gives you, just like, it's a Dropbox, essentially, like, that is organized by folders that are associated with other things, and it's usually apps, but it could also be your documents folder or your desktop. So they kind of, the file thing is there already, really.
Okay, so could you do away with the Windows? Do you actually need Windows, or could you just have a full screen, maybe just like a really fast app switching, like really, like, right, hyper fast? so you don't do Windows.
I think that might be the key, because honestly, I roll full screen apps mostly on my laptop anyway. Like when I'm working, it's usually full screen. So it's not like I really need Windows. I like those like spaces that are separate. But the cool thing is on macOS, I take three fingers and I swipe to the right on my trackpad and I'm in a different app. I take three fingers and I swipe up and I can choose from any of the apps I'm using. And it feels real, real fast. iPad actually has this, right? It's like a five-finger swipe. You can pull to the application that's like your last one you were using. I think if you pull left, I think they also added the command tab on the keyboard to switch between apps when using a keyboard. So it's kind of got that stuff too. It just doesn't feel very fast.
Okay, hang on. So let's ground this. Xcode is easy because it's basically just text editing and some like storyboarding, which is like simple. But would you actually use like something like Sketch on an iPad? What do you need to use that tool? That's like what you do for a living. So what would you need?
It seems impossible. I have no idea.
Like, would you actually use?
I think why it seems so impossible.
Would you actually use an Apple Pencil to like draw rectangles and position rectangles around on Sketch?
You could. I think what it is it just feels so much clunkier, right? That's like the real thing that would be preventing me from doing it. Right. I try to like optimize my speed in everything I do when it comes to designing, right? So I feel like it would just be so much slower to do that, even with like an Apple Pencil on a touch interface. Like, I don't know. It seems like it'd be really slow, right?
Yeah, but maybe that's just muscle memory that you can build again.
Maybe nothing is blocking it. It's just the software hasn't been developed that needs to exist in order for it to work well. Here's another example. Like, I've used, iMovie on the iPad and some other timeline apps, like lots of music apps with timelines. They all feel real clunky. Or GarageBand, like basically, maybe it's like a combination of two things. One is like, I don't have enough screen real estate to have this other stuff open. Like, I want a viewer of the video I'm working on. I want the collection of all of my video clips available. And I want the effects that are going into things available. Like, I want to see it all at once, but I also want enough room to deal with the timeline. Maybe it's a screen real estate thing. Like, as soon as there's enough surface area to do that, it won't feel weird.
So what if this could actually give you more real estate? What if you could like sync your multiple iPads together, you have a bunch of different screens and your phone? The fact that you can run all these apps in iOS means that they can all be interconnected. And you can have like you can have a friend come over and put their iPad next to it, to that one, and now you have like two screens.
Yeah, that might be cool. I mean, like when I've used like Logic Pro on my computer, and I've used the iPad with it simultaneously as like a controller for a lot of stuff.
Which is awesome. Really well. Like, oh my God, that's like magic.
Yeah, it feels good.
So I transitioned to a phone-only workflow for photo editing, and I think it's awesome. So I take a photo with my SLR camera, then I transfer that photo through Wi-Fi to my phone, then I open that photo on Darkroom in my phone and edit it there, and then post it wherever from there. And I don't miss a computer at all. I don't miss Lightroom at all for photo editing.
I'm changing my opinion already from this conversation. Like, I started this conversation thinking like Mac or like iOS really needs some different stuff in order for it to work as well as macOS. But I think I'm wrong. I think it's just like there's a stigma attached with iOS because I've grown up with it where it's always constrained. I haven't had all the ability to do everything I wanted with it. So it's kind of got like most of the stuff, actually, is my guess. It just needs to be developed faster, developed more so it feels like smoother and so that things are flushed out more. And then it needs to be able to write code. And then I think you're like pretty much there. You just have to get the right people making the right software so that these pro apps exist. And oh, you probably need a big screen. That's like the one tangible thing that needs to exist in order for it to be a Mac competitor, like a big screen.
Or devices that can talk to each other. Right. So,
or your solution, yeah. But I mean, who wants to buy like four iPads? That's crazy.
Well, no, I just keep a giant iPad on my desk and like a phablet on my pocket. And like when I go to my office, I just use my phablet for input and the giant iPad for display.
I like that idea, kind of. I hate like I like I don't like devices relying on each other, so I feel like that's my resistance to why I think that's a good solution. But I like them working together, of course. That sounds very nice.
What about introducing Apple Watch or any other sort of device? Like your AirPods, they somehow interface with a desktop software in a way that couldn't be done with macOS.
Okay, so I think the problem with macOS is the thing that you're really trying to replace is a legacy of using something a particular way, right? So when you think about like new things, like how could you use the AirPods to like deliver the information that's not visual or whatever, like, or have input methods that aren't cursor driven or keyboard driven, that's great. But like replacing macOS needs to replace the functionalities of macOS that are like irreplaceable otherwise.
Also, this has been tried before, right? Like Windows 8, I think, or one of the Windowses tried to make a OS that was like designed for touch input.
No, this is Windows. Windows like did this. They succeeded. Like Windows 10 is like a touch interface if you want it to be. It's just that it seemed like such an inelegant solution in the beginning because they were like, hey, we're going to put like larger buttons on Windows so you can like do certain stuff. But then like when you go back into Microsoft Word, it looks exactly the same. It felt like real weird. In fact, I went to a Microsoft store in the past like month or something and played with the Surface Pro, the Surface Studio Pro. And the weirdest thing was like when it launches to an app that is not really like touch based and you like are supposed to take your finger and hit like the tiny little X or whatever, it just feels silly. Basically, if they refresh their entire interface to work for touch, they would be 10 steps ahead of where Apple is right now because they built a touch interface into their most powerful operating system.
Well, I think the key is dealing with legacy, right? Like all these apps, every tool that people will use to actually make a living will have to be readapted to a new input system. And that seems like a like gigantic undertaking. So like why would they do it? Like, what's the motivation behind doing that?
I guess the things you gain with touch, right? Like direct manipulation, for things like, that's why Apple added the touch bar to the MacBook Pro, right? Because they needed some amount of touch in the interface. And what are the things that people respond to the most? Like changing dials, like changing volume, choosing colors, things that require, like these things that are more subtle gestures, like people respond to them with touch better.
I think we can have one device that won't be called a phone. It'll be like your iBuddy or something.
You are the worst name like Apple hardware.
And that is where I do everything. That is where I write my apps and my emails and I take dick pics.
If you want to. That was an unexpected twist. I feel like, no, it's just like the pro machine, right? Like, why does John Smith use like a desktop computer at his job? Because he can like do stuff fast on it, right? It's like anything he wants to do on that thing, he can do. And that's what like the like idea of like a PC really is. Like it's meant to not limit you.
I prefer to think of him as Juan Smith, but okay, well, I'll go with your
or Juanita Smith.
Exactly.
I think so many professions that don't require this like hardcore creative type of software, they don't need the PC style computer at all anymore, right? Like they can literally do everything they need to do on their phone or like an iPad as it is. When it's communication, these devices handle it pretty well. It's more like when you're doing like hardcore creation stuff. Like imagine rendering something in like 3D on an iPad right now. It doesn't seem logical.
If the next computing device is also VR compatible, like the Pixel and the Daydream relationship, like you have a device, OS that can handle any sort of complexity in an app, and then you can interface with it either with your hands or a pencil, or you can put it on your face and interact with it like in virtual reality.
Yeah, I had this experience like I think a month ago or something. I told you about it. I went into like Big Screen, the application on Oculus, and I like pulled up a full QWERTY keyboard, and I had like this other little thing in my hand that I could change things about the environment. And I was like, whoa, like I'm in VR, but I feel like kind of fairly unrestrained in how much different input methods I have available to me. I could imagine like the Oculus Touch right now, it's like you're basically like kind of pointing at stuff, right? But if like there was a world where I could use all my fingers and stuff, typing would be no issue. So that would be unrestrained, or like complex manipulation. I think that future is probably out there. And that's a crazy thought, because then it's like, oh, what am I talking about? Desktop devices or like the Mac or anything like that. It's like if I had direct manipulation in VR, I could do anything because it's all software at that point.
That's where we're headed.
Oh, good. I'm glad we had this conversation, which was worthless. Totally off point the whole time. All right, so I think that's it. We decided that iOS might not need very much to actually replace macOS, probably like bigger screen or different screens and software development, but maybe the future actually has nothing to do with trying to rekindle PC computing. Maybe it has to do with totally different methods of computing.
That's great. We'll be sending these episodes to Johnny and Tim and collecting our 10% of the profit. All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 2 of Bread Time with Gabriel Valdivia and
Charlie Deeds.